This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. While Hurricane Harvey dumped trillions of gallons of rainwater on the city of Houston, Texas, here in Southern California, where our program is based, we're experiencing a brutal heat wave. Meanwhile, on the other side of the planet, unprecedented flooding in India and South Asia in general has caused upwards of 1,000 deaths. But President Donald Trump continues to pursue policies that will only accelerate climate change and make such extreme and dangerous weather patterns more likely. Only weeks before Harvey hit, Trump eliminated the federal flood risk management standard that President Obama had implemented. He also has plans to cut funding from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, in order to pay for his border wall with Mexico. My guest is Alexander Kaufman. He is a climate, environment, and business reporter at Huffington Post. He now joins me. Welcome to the program, Alexander.
Thank you for having me.
So I know that this is obvious to most people who've been paying attention, but let's just start our conversation with the obvious point, which is, can you say, and do climate researchers say, that Hurricane Harvey was as devastating as it ended up being because of climate change?
The overwhelming majority of them do, for a number of reasons. You know, they can point to the fact that there was the extreme level of precipitation that we saw. We can point to the fact that this is, you know, only the most recent, certainly the most devastating, but only the most recent, flooding and extreme storm event in the Houston area in just the past decade. And, you know, you can point to the kind of path that the storm has taken. There's a researcher at Cornell who pointed out the fact that, similar to Superstorm Sandy in 2012, because of these warming waters and the warming climate in the Arctic, you're actually getting a slowdown of some of the jet streams. And because of that, you know, you get a storm that not just comes out over these heavily populated areas, but it kind of lingers there for a while and really dumps a heavy amount of precipitation on the densely populated region before moving back out to sea.
You've also written about how our glaciers in the Arctic that are melting have impacted climate change. And this is a really important issue to really bring up, because climate change is not a local phenomenon. It is a global phenomenon, hence the term global warming, right? That the impacts of climate change in one part of the planet are not restricted to that part of the planet.
Certainly not. I mean, I think that there was a great quote from this researcher at Cornell that I was referring to just before, where he said, you know, what happens in the Arctic doesn't stay in the Arctic. And the magnitude and the destructiveness of storms like Harvey and Sandy, and I'm sure, unfortunately, many more to come, is evidence of that.
Let's talk about what we have been seeing happening with the Trump administration. Trump and First Lady Melania Trump visited the flood-impacted areas. And it's interesting to see his response. I mean, all we can sort of really get inside his mind is through Twitter. And he's been very impressed by the size of the storm. He's been very impressed by the unprecedented level of flooding, and very laudatory of how his agencies have been working together. Although we can't pin this disaster on Trump, because of course the groundwork is laid before Trump came into power, how do you view his trip to Houston, where he basically didn't mention climate change and is actively pursuing policies that are only going to make more Hurricane Harveys likely?
Well, I actually thought when you were first setting up this question that you're going to talk about his commenting on the size of the crowds that were drawn.
That too, yes. He was impressed by the crowds that had gathered.
Yeah. I'll leave that to your viewers to kind of determine, the judgment there. But I do think that overall, the really dangerous part of his agenda that we are seeing actively taking place, and that we're seeing him, you know, not not addressed. Like, yes, of course, he's not addressing climate change. He's made, you know, denying climate change and eliminating any types of regulations or federal rules to deal with climate change and mitigate it on the most basic level, a cornerstone of his campaign. I mean, I think it has not gotten enough attention, the fact that he just about a week to a week and a half before Hurricane Harvey made landfall, he eliminated or he signed an executive order to eliminate a rule that was set under the Obama administration that made it so that developers had to consider flooding from future sea level rise as part of getting any kind of federal funding for that. And I think the fact that, you know, he flouts a rule that is supposed to be a safeguard against the sort of extreme flooding that we're going to see a lot more of because of climate change, and then this happens is preposterous. But I think overall, right now, at this moment, you know, on Thursday, you know, we're kind of seeing everything unfolding around the refineries that have shut down in Texas that are now spewing out, toxic emissions into the air, as well as the chemical plant that is now at risk of exploding as a result of, you know, the chemicals that have been left there and have been inundated in water. And, you know, it's worth noting that this administration has made rolling back any kind of regulations that would make it so that these companies would have to report what they have and what they're doing, so they would have to take extra safety measures, or so that they would have to do anything that would really act as some kind of a safeguard against what's happening now, that those are things that are being eliminated. And so I think that when you're looking at this and you're looking at how his agenda applies to this, the most important element of it is just the crusade to deregulate every single industry at a time that we're seeing the dangers of that.
And Houston is particularly problematic here because it is really in the heart of the industry, of the fossil fuel industry in the United States, right? I mean, the Gulf Coast area in general, but Houston, while it is, of course, a very large and cosmopolitan city, very diverse city, it has all these different aspects to it. It is also a center of industry and of a very dirty industry, right?
Certainly. This is where at least over a third, although I'm not totally sure on that number, but at least a third of the U.S.'s, the oil refinery takes place. Houston is also the site of a lot of shipping for different energy uses. It's also the site of a lot of petrochemical production, particularly by ExxonMobil. So this is a major hub of that kind of activity. And, you know, certainly if you turn on the channels like CNBC or Bloomberg TV, you know, you'll find that, the Wall Street and the financial world is very closely watching how this is affecting the energy industry writ large.
Now, what have you made of media coverage of Hurricane Harvey? Is there enough context around the climate change related causes of this hurricane? Because more than ever, of course, we need to be raising this issue. Many are saying that this should be a turning point in our discussion on climate change. I mean, you know, of course, we should have had that turning point years ago, but it's sadly likely that even this won't be a turning point. Does the media do a good enough job of bringing that into the national consciousness?
That's a very good question. I would say that it depends on the segment of media that you're looking at. I think that there's been a really thoughtful debate and an increased amount of coverage of this as an issue, certainly in the print media. You're seeing a lot more discussion of this on sites like Politico and in the Washington Post. I like to think that we've had our share of it as well on HuffPost. But I think that the most important area for this to still take place is on cable news. And I haven't been impressed by what I've seen on cable news. I think you'd be hard pressed to find realistic coverage of this on a channel like Fox, but you'd also be hard pressed to see really thoughtful, informative discussion on this on the other cable channels as well. And I think it's very worth noting that in 2016, the cable networks devoted less than 50 minutes, 5-0, to climate change coverage collectively.
That's over the entire year?
Over the entire year, less than 50 minutes. It was a Media Matters study that came out at the beginning of this year. And it is just absolutely stunning. And, you know, I think it speaks to the fact that these, unfortunately, in my opinion, you know, the cable news networks are the agenda setter for a lot of the political world and for a lot of the larger media world. And, you know, they are responsible for, you know, kind of shepherding this along and making this an urgent concern for people. And they're really failing at that. And I think that, you know, that is something that, you know, they will have to answer for, I guess, when we're looking back at this era, you know, decades from now. But
Alexander, yeah. Let's also talk about environmental racism, because that's another very important component of the discussion on climate change that doesn't get enough coverage. You wrote a piece saying Houston flooding always hits poor non-white neighborhoods hardest. Let's talk a little bit about that in Houston. You've had, you know, people being impacted across the income spectrum. You know, there've been wealthy suburban areas, many feet deep in water, but of course, poorer folks have been disproportionately impacted, haven't they? Which is something we always see, sadly.
Right. I mean, so I think it's a twofold issue. You know, of course, you know, this flooding has affected, you know, people of all races and places in the socioeconomic ladder. You know, I got a very angry response to that story, as you might imagine, from a lot of folks. But, you know,
did they say all lives matter?
More or less. They were saying, you know, all Houston neighborhoods and all Houstonians and all lives matter. I think it came from a lot of guys that look a bit like me and have names like Randy. So take from that what you will. But, you know, the actual way that this does affect people and low income and often non-white people is the fact that a lot of those people live in these lower lying neighborhoods that are not fortified in the same way by any kind of environmental protections against flooding. I mean, certainly there has been flooding in the wealthier, whiter suburban parts of Houston, but Houston has no environmental zoning laws whatsoever. So this is basically, you know, a case of where these wealthier areas are able to afford to do this protections ahead of time and add, you know, spillways or berms or other types of infrastructure that can help protect against flooding, and poorer areas can't do that. Poorer areas also, you know, are less able, or the residents of poorer areas are less able to reject, you know, big industrial sites that are then put into their neighborhoods and into their backyards. And so now, you know, it's not the wealthy white parts of, you know, Western Houston that are reporting these intense, nauseating and headache causing odors of plastic and gasoline in the air. And that's because they aren't situated right next to these different industrial sites that are getting flooded. The second part of this is who actually gets to rebuild. You know, a lot of wealthier folks, they have flood insurance, and, you know, very few people in Houston do. It's something like 85% of the city is uninsured in that regard. But they, you know, the wealthier people certainly do have access to flood insurance. And there is just going to automatically be more capital and more resources to allow for them to rebuild and to reclaim their lives after this. Right. So I think that, you know, in whatever way that the storm itself may have been an equalizer in its destructiveness, you know, I think that you'll see the inequality really be played up in how people ultimately get to, you know, come back from this.
Hmm. Alexander, give out a website where we can read your writings about climate and other issues.
Sure. HuffPost.com. You know, if you Google that, or if you find me on Twitter, I'm at Alex C. Kaufman, or you can visit my website, which is alexanderckaufman.com.
We'll post links to those from our website later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Alexander Kaufman is a climate, environment, and business reporter at HuffPost. We've been discussing how Trump's policies will make more Hurricane Harveys likely. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.